Okay, we're turning now for our message this morning. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah, the first chapter. The title of the message comes from verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been like Sodom and Gomorrah, judged of God. Except the Lord have mercy upon us, we all likewise justly perish under the weight of our sin. So the title of the message this morning is A Remnant Shall Be Saved. A remnant shall be saved. There is a remnant according to the election of God's grace, God's sovereign mercy. Now let's look at verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, he's the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah, Jerusalem, in the days of Hezekiah, Uzziah, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, these kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, calling us to attention. Hear the word of the Lord. Now let me give you this background and this introduction as we start this study through Isaiah. Isaiah was one of 16 prophets whose writings are contained in Holy Scripture. There are more testimonies and quotations in the New Testament taken from the book of Isaiah than all the other prophets combined. Isaiah is quoted over and over and over again throughout the New Testament, more than all the other Old Testament prophets combined. Isaiah so fully describes the person and offices and sufferings and work and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ that some have called him the fifth evangelist. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Isaiah. Some of the other old writers consider the writings of Isaiah as they're given of God to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Isaiah. He was a prophet of God. Now it's interesting, you remember the old preacher that was out in the wilderness named John the Baptist? When he started his public ministry, and he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. When the Lord Jesus Christ started his public ministry, when he went to his hometown and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, he asked for the book of Isaiah. And he read unto them from Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to mend the broken heart and those who were bruised. When Philip, God's preacher, met the eunuch down in the desert land, and the eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah, and Philip took that same scripture and preached unto the eunuch the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now something about Isaiah's name. You know what his name means? His name means the salvation of the Lord. Or, Lord, the Lord shall save. One of the key words that's found throughout this book of Isaiah is the word salvation. 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 26 times we read the word salvation. And then again, he says in Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 12. He says,
I am God. Beside me there is no Savior. There's salvation only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Isaiah 12 concerning this word salvation. Isaiah 12 verse 2. He said, the whole God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and song. He is also become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's what I need. I need God's mercy. I need salvation. That salvation's found in none other than the Lord Jesus. You remember what Peter said to the men who asked him about the healing of that cripple? In whose name, whose power had you performed this miracle? And he said, be it known unto you that by the name of Jesus Christ, this man stands before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, in Christ alone. Now, notice if you will, again, Isaiah 1:1. It says here the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw. The same as it says in verse 2, for the Lord hath spoken. The vision of Isaiah is what God has spoken. And it's what he saw. What he saw. Just so clear and so plain. The word of the Lord. Now we know from studying the Scripture that all Scripture is given of God. All Scripture is God-inspired, God-breathed. These words that we're reading today, that Isaiah was the penman, are the very inspired, God-breathed words. And Isaiah is simply writing down what God would have him say. The holy men of old, Peter said, spake as they were moved by God the Holy Spirit. You have in your hand there, my friend, the very will and testimony of God Almighty. Would you hear him speak? He says, hear, O heavens, give ear, for the Lord has spoken. Oh, I tell you, sit up. Pay attention. It says here of Isaiah that he is a son of Amos. Some think that this man, Amos, was the brother of King Amaziah. And some think that Isaiah's father was also a prophet of God himself. But one thing is certain. Isaiah was born of a father who was a sinner. And therefore it made him a sinner. Isaiah was a sinner just like you, just like me. A man of God, a prophet of God, but in and of himself by nature, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Isaiah was a sinner. Notice his testimony over here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Isaiah 6, verse 5. He said, woe is me, I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When he saw the holy majesty of God, he cried out, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner, born a sinner, shapen in iniquity. But yet Isaiah was a prophet of God. You see, God uses sinners, saves them by His grace, and sends them forth to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this treasure of the gospel in this earthen vessel. You know why God uses frail, weakly, sinful vessels to preach the gospel? That He might have all the honor and glory alone. Isaiah, it says here, was a prophet during the reign of four different kings. Now remember, at this time of Israel, this time that Isaiah lived, through the reign of these four kings, that Israel was a divided nation. After the death of Solomon,
They split into the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, known as Israel, led by a man called Jeroboam, and the 2 tribes of the south, known as Judah, led by Rehoboam. Now, you probably won't remember that. But if you read through 1 Kings, you'll find out. Oftentimes, when you read through Scripture, you'll see a reference to Israel and then Judah, the southern 2 tribes and then the northern 10 tribes, Israel and Judah. Verse 2 says, "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken." The Lord hath spoken. Isaiah calls for all men everywhere to sit up and pay attention. Listen. Clean out your ears. Listen to God Almighty, for He's about to speak. The voice of the Lord is about to thunder. We know it's the voice of truth, absolute truth. It's the voice of all authority, all power, all dominion. It is a voice of holiness. He speaks the word of life because it's the word of God. My prayer for us today and for the years to come, or days to come that we have here together, oh, that God would speak in power into our heart. Would that be something? That God Almighty would speak in power to our heart right now. That the Lord would give us ears to hear Him. Give us eyes to see Him. Our Lord said in John chapter 5, "He that heareth my word, he that heareth my word and believeth on me has everlasting life." Oh, to hear a word from God Almighty. Now notice, here's the message of God. Here's God's man, God's prophet, the man of God, with a word from God. And the first thing he declares, first thing the Lord declares when he speaks through Isaiah, the first thing he establishes is this fact. We're sinners. We're sinners. We're sinners. Totally depraved and guilty before God. This charge is leveled against the nation of Israel, but it's true of all people. For we all have sin that comes short of the glory of God. That includes you, me, and all people. We're sinners. We're sinners. He said, "I've nourished and brought up children. They have rebelled against me." All men are the creation of God through Adam. God created one man. And all men issue from the loins of that one man. That one man. All men enjoy the blessings of God, whether they realize it or not. For God sends the rain. God sends the sunshine. God sends the air we breathe. He maintains it. God gives us the food we eat, the shelter we enjoy. By nature, and yet by nature, men everywhere are, left to themselves now, are unthankful. He said, look what he says in verse 2, "I've nourished and brought up children." How merciful God is to all men everywhere as they live upon His earth. They enjoy the blue sky, the rain, the sunshine, the warmth. And yet, he says, they're rebels against God. Just how depraved are we? Look what he says in verse 3. "The ox knoweth his owner. The ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people do not even consider." How ungrateful. Just how depraved are we? More ignorant, more ungrateful than the beast of the field. Even little birds sing glory to God. He says here, and we've heard that old country saying, "He's dumber than an ox." Or that old country saying, "Stubborn as a jackass." That's what God's saying of us.
That's what we are by nature. Now let's just shuck right down to the cob. It won't do any good to play games before God. He says the ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but we don't know God. Not left to ourselves. We don't even consider who God is. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Well, preacher, that kind of talk's offensive to the flesh. You call people guilty sinners and you won't preach to anybody. You'll run them all off. I would much rather offend the sinner by telling the truth than to offend God by telling a lie. See what I'm saying? I'm going to tell the truth. If it's to one or two people or 200 or 300, I'd much rather offend sinners by telling them who they are and what they are than by patting people on the back and saying, well, you're okay, I'm okay, peace, peace, when God said there is no peace. Not in the flesh. I'm committed to telling the truth. Come flame or flood, hell or high water, God is my helper. Now notice the three charges that God has against us. And what He says of Israel is true of us. What He says of this nation is true of this nation and all nations of the world. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. They provoked the Holy One unto anger. He charges us with treason. He said, they've rebelled against me. You know what it says in the book of Psalms? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Treason. We've committed treason against the Most High God. Rebels against God. We're born in rebellion. That's right. And then the second charge He's given levels against us is ignorance. Israel doth not know. Isn't that the same thing Paul says in Romans 10? They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus. And then the third charge is this, irreverence, ingratitude. My people doth not consider holy and reverent is my name. Now these are strong charges, aren't they? They're true, aren't they? They're true. In verses 4 and 8, verses 4 through verse 8, more details are given of who we are before God, our sin, our iniquity, our transgressions against God, making us fit candidates for His just condemnation. For the wages of sin is death. But I thought about this as I came to this point. He's going to strip us down to nothing here as we go through these verses. But think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. If you can come in here and identify yourself here with these whom God describes as rebels, ignorant, arrogant, irreverent, ungodly, I've got good hope for you. Christ died for the ungodly. He came to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to seek out and to save the lost. Now notice, if you will, the Lord's vivid description of who we are in verse 4. He mentioned seven things here in this first verse. In verse 4, rather. He said, a sinful nation. A sinful nation. What do we see here? Universal depravity. Universal depravity. In Adam, how did we get so sinful? In Adam, all died. When Adam sinned, I sinned. What he did, I did. That sin was reckoned and charged to the account of everyone that issued out of his body. In Adam all died. In Adam all guilty before God. So a sinful people. And then he says, secondly, a people laden with iniquity. This word here, laden, means full of sin. Full of sin. Laden with iniquity. Full of sin. As Paul says in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seek after God. They're altogether gone out of the way, altogether unprofitable. And then thirdly, he says in verse 4 of Isaiah 1, he said, a seed of evildoers. A seed of evildoers. That is, he's saying this. We all have a sinful nature. What we are before God. If we say we have no sin nature, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. We are a seed of evildoers. We have a sin nature and principle. All flesh. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. And then he says, children of corruptors. Born in sin, shaping iniquity. Your children, my children. And then he says, fifthly, they've forsaken the Lord. They've forsaken the Lord. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Forsaken the Lord. And then he says further in verse 4, they provoked the Holy One unto anger. Who have we provoked? The Holy One of God. You know what it says in Psalm 7 verse 11? That God is angry with the wicked every day. I thought, well preacher, I thought God loved everybody. No, it's not so. We just read in Romans 9, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. We provoked the Holy One unto anger because we sinned against God. Again in verse 4 he says, they are gone away backward, fallen, separated, aliens, enemies of God. By what? Turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59:2. I know this is a bleak picture, but I prefaced it by saying that salvation is for sinners. This should give us hope. The only man who will seek salvation in Christ is a man who knows himself to be a sinner. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues mutter perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any to plead for the truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief, they bring forth iniquity. That's us. That's our sin nature. That's our flesh. Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse 5 and 6. He said, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. I sent judgment and judgment and judgment, and yet you revolt more and more and more. He said, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, the bottom of the foot, to the top of their head, there's no goodness in us. All people are so morally depraved and spiritually dead that not even the judgment of God brings lasting repentance. He sent judgment after judgment, and they revolted more and more and more. You know, it's not the wrath of God that brings a man to repentance. It is the goodness of God that brings a sinner to repentance. Listen to this scripture in Revelation 16:9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give Him the glory. You see, it's God's goodness that breaks our heart.
We are so infected with sin that unless God intervenes in our behalf, we shall die as we are born, dead in sin, without God, without hope, and without Christ. He says furthermore, let's take us down another notch. Can you take any more? Pretty low, isn't it? This is God's Word. This is His truth. He's describing what we are before Him. Now, I know before one another we look pretty good. But what's one worm comparing to another worm? What's one maggot? He say, well, you're a pretty maggot. But he's still a maggot. Still a maggot. Thou worm Jacob? What are we compared to God? That's the comparison. He said the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. The whole head, that is our reasons, our reasoning, our thoughts, they're perverted. They're perverted. It says in Psalm 50, verse 21, God says, you thought that I was such a one as you. No, He's not. God's who He is. The whole head is sick. Our thoughts are warped. We think too highly of self and too low of God. We have low thoughts of God and high thoughts of self. You know why? Our head is sick. Our thoughts are perverted. And then He says the whole heart is faint. Our affections are perverted. By nature we love darkness, not light. The heart, Jeremiah said, God's prophet, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who could know it? And then he goes on, he said, from the bottom of our feet to the top of the head, there's no goodness, no soundness, no righteousness. All of our righteousnesses, Isaiah 64, God says, are filthy rags in His sight. From the sole of the foot, bottom of your foot, to the tip of your toe, to the top of your head, nothing but wounds, bruises, open, running, bloody, infested sores that have not been treated, that have not seen a doctor, have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. No antiseptic been applied. Infested, open, ulcerated, festered, infected. You see, everything about us is rotten. Wounds that have not been bound up. Bruises that have not been treated. We are, before God, we are spiritual lepers. That disease of leprosy affects the whole body. An infection is just one open, running sore, and the fingers begin to deteriorate. The hands, the toes, the feet, the limbs, everything just falls off, infected through and through. That's God's description of us. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. If you knew yourself to be in such rotten condition, naturally speaking, if you had such a vile disease and so infected, wouldn't you cry out for a doctor? Would you say, is there a doctor in the house? Can you help this poor, wretched man? Would you call out for a doctor, for a physician? Would you seek the remedy for your disease? If you were a leper, would you seek the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ? This leper did here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. And when the Lord was come down from the mountain, having spoken with all authority and power, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper. This is what we are by nature. And this leper worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. You're the only one who can.
And the Lord Jesus Christ put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy disappeared. My friend, seek the remedy for our vile condition where it's found, in whom it's found, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In verse 7 and 8, God says, judgment's coming. He said, your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your land, strangers have devoured it in your presence. And it's a desolate, overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as an empty cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden, emptied, besieged city. Sin brought judgment on this nation. History tells us that. The Lord of glory certainly rained judgment on this national people, taking them away into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And when the Messiah came among them and they soundly rejected him, they said, away with him, we have no king but Caesar. And then just a short time afterward, God rained judgment on that country by the hands of the Roman armies in 70 AD and brought it to naught, to nothing. All this is a vivid reminder of what is awaiting those who continue in rebellion against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice across the page in Isaiah 1 verse 28, and the destruction of the transgressors and sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Turn over to Isaiah 3, verse 10. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well. Who are the righteous? Those who are made righteous in Christ. It shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of their hands shall be given. It shall be well with the righteous. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on that man. This is also a vivid reminder of what is awaiting the final destruction of this world, when God will rain fire from heaven and burn up this heaven and this earth as we know it, and make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. My friend, don't build your hope for eternal glory in the forest of this world. It is marked out for destruction. The fashion of this world fadeth away. My friend, don't build your hope of salvation upon the quicksand of your works, your righteousness, for it is nothing but sin in God's sight. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, He saved us. If you know yourself to be a sinner, you know what God says to those? Turn to Isaiah 45. Our blessed Lord declares in Isaiah 45 that He is a just God and Savior. He said, there's none beside me. The last part of verse 21. Verse 22 says this, look unto me, He said, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Beside me there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified in him. Now for my text, verse 9. That's my introduction. Now here's the message. Verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Except the Lord of His covenant people had chosen and elected a people unto salvation, none would be saved.
Except the Lord of hosts by His infinite grace and goodness. Had He not chosen the people out of Adam's fallen race and defeated all of our spiritual enemies in the person and work of Christ, having put away all our sin by His blood sacrifice and called us effectually by His Spirit, none would be saved. None. We would have all been cut off, and justly so, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Thank God that salvation is of the Lord. If you know what you are by nature, you also know that salvation has to be by His sovereign grace. If you know what you are, I'm not talking about what you do and what you've done or what you will do. Sin is what we are. We only do what is the fruit of this old rotten nature. Sin can only produce sin. Sin doesn't produce righteousness. Salvation has to be all of God's sovereign grace in Christ. The Scriptures declare throughout that salvation is of the Lord. Of Him. Of Him. Salvation is of the Lord in its origination. It begins with Him and ends with Him. Salvation is of the Lord in its execution. He executed His purpose. Salvation is of the Lord in its application. He makes application to the heart of the sinner by His grace. Because of our condition, until God wakes us up and shows us what we are, we'll never seek mercy in Christ. We'll never call out on the great physician like that leper did. Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. If You will. Salvation of the Lord in its sustaining power. We're kept by the power of God. Salvation is of the Lord in its ultimate perfection. He takes that rotten, leprous, vile sinner. And you know what He does? Turn to Isaiah 53. You know what He does? You know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in salvation? God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man mediator, He took our sin to Himself. That's what happened at Calvary. It says here in Isaiah 53, surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are, what's that word? Heal. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. Healing. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. It says it's a very small remnant. At any time upon the earth, when compared to the masses of unbelievers, it seems like a very small remnant of believers, doesn't it? But in the final day of glorification, there will be a multitude which no man can number. And they sing one song. Turn to Revelation 5. I'll let you go. Revelation chapter 5, in closing. I'll send you home with this. Never fear, for the remnant, God's elect, shall be saved. They shall hear the gospel. They shall believe it. And they shall be made new creatures in Christ. And they'll sing in that day, Revelation 5, verse 9. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. You see, He shed His blood, taking our sin to put away our sin, and He gave us His blessed righteousness, and with His stripes we are healed. He made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign with Him. Reign on this new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I thought it was a very small remnant. Ain't time upon this earth, it seems small, but in eternal glory,
It's a multitude that no man could number, redeemed by the blood of Christ, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever." The Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God. And the four beasts said, "Amen." God's church, the 24 elders, fell down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There is salvation for sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us grace in our heart to look unto him and be saved in Christ Jesus.